Hello, welcome back. It's the next talk. It's a talk and discussion about TALP, the Austrian Language Project. We welcome Alexander Barasitz from Cultural Broadcasting Archive, the organization behind the European Cultural Backbone, and Christoph Bauer from ORF, the Austrian the television service provider. Ewald Enzinger couldn't arrive, so we start right away. Okay, Alex and Christoph, we get started.
Yeah. Who will start, or who should start? Christoph, do you want to start?
Yes, so I can, let's say, sketch a little bit the background here, so we know where we are standing.
Sorry.
Ah, Christian is here as well. Hi.
Great.
Hello. Hi there.
So this is Christian Jungwirth. He is Managing Director of Okto Public Access, the TV channel in Vienna.
Hi there.
Okay, so since we are now complete, I will start right away, just as I mentioned before, sketch a little bit the background here. So why is ORF here on a panel discussing about an Austrian language model? Well, for myself, as I'm working in the archive, our main role as a public service broadcaster is, of course, that we have to facilitate the provision of accessibility services, which is a particularly demand for us as a service, a public service broadcaster. So, for example, technologies that facilitate those provision are definitely in high demand here. So just sketch a little bit example that is not from my home turf here as the archive is, for example, the production of subtitles. This is process is very time consuming and therefore an expensive matter. So every even small step towards an automation would have a major impact here. Language technologies are already quite advanced here and are already enable to introduce some quite high qualities in this field. Unfortunately, however, there are still open issues. So, for example, the robustness of the usually used German language models that which are currently available on the market is definitely still in need of improvement as far as deviations from the Hochdeutsch, so the main German that is meant to be spoken in all German-speaking countries, also known as the Hanoveranian German, are concerned. So work is therefore being carried out on local language models throughout the German-speaking world in order to expand the areas of application and improve the quality of the results. So, for example, now we in Austria are thinking about producing an own language model, as well as our colleagues in the ARD, for example, in Bavaria, the Bayerischer Rundfunk in Munich, and also our colleagues, for example, in Switzerland. So this is, let's say, an issue that is not meeting us in Austria alone, although I do have to say that German, as a general German language models, do have a little bit of problem, especially with our kind of language. So let me tell you a little bit about the experience we had at the ORF so far. So we introduced language technologies a couple of years ago that were not in the main focus of our work, of course. In the archive, we are using now, for example, speech-to-text technology for getting more information from especially historical programs where we still have a lack of metadata to provide full access to those. The experience through all that has shown that, for example, especially the stronger dialect coloring and linguistic slurring, like we use in our way of speaking the German, the quality of the results are greatly reduced, and a great deal of, let's say, post-processing is required. So as soon as we got a full transcript of a program, we had to invest a lot of post-processing into this to have then proper information and a proper transcript. So to minimize this effort was definitely one of the main reasons to strive for the development of an own Austrian language model. This is, from our point of view of the ORF, definitely not like you would say a typical dialect model. So for the typical Viennese tongue or maybe a speaking in Southern Styria whatsoever. But what we are thinking of is a kind of a general model, let's call it media Austrian language model, which is to be used as widely as possible. So seen from the focus of ORF, not only in addition to the use of the support of services in the context of accessibility, already mentioned subtitling, for example, but also for the general use in production, for example, the creation of interview transcripts and the like, plus also the already mentioned indexing of historical archive content are planned to be a field of use here. Maybe this is kind of enough how the background of ORF here in the topic is. And I would like now maybe to switch over to Alexander and Christian to tell their view of their part of the story right away. Thank you.
Okay, great. So then I will start my slides. Just briefly, can you see them? Hello?
Yes, we can see them.
Okay, great.
They're still not in presentation mode, but we can see them.
Not in
that's presentation mode, no?
No? No, it's not. I had it in presentation mode. I do it again. Is it now in presentation mode?
No.
No. Okay. Now, anyway. I think it should work nevertheless. So yes, it's the title, TARP is the title of this project. And in principle, as already outlined, the thing behind that is to be able to automatically generate transcripts from spoken language, and here the special issue is the deviances from the German and the Austrian German. And I prepared a small example that shows what could what difficulties are arising in our already existing project Open Audio Search, which has been introduced yesterday, I think. And so there we use open source engine to transpose automatically transcripts. And so this slide that you can see is the alpha demo version of the Open Audio Search, and typed in is Jauche. Can I read it actually, or is it too blurred? You can read it. So
it's a little bit small. If you could zoom in a little bit, would be great. Yeah.
Well.
Okay, better.
Okay, because in the next slide, you can then see what I want to stress. Here, the original text, the spoken text is Mühlviertel, which is actually a tiny part in the northern Upper Austria. So you are actually in the Stadtwerkstatt is part of the Mühlviertel. And yeah, the transcription engine then describes it as being the garbage viertel, which is actually one of the usual cases where you have with the German language models, for example, the geographical aspects of or variations of Austria are not integrated in the library there, for example. Or another example is in Austria, you have the usage of no saying na, and which is quite similar to the German ja, and so this if the na means no and the German ja means yes, so if you mix it up, comes quite the opposite out of it from the meaning. And just tiny examples how this could look can look like the transcription and why it's necessary that we need that we get more precise engines to get transcripts. For training, can you see the whole slide now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So the challenge for training a language model for our own language model is to get data for it. So you need on the one hand the audio data and one-to-one similar transcripts with time prints on it that you can train then the model on that. And for Kaldi, which we are working with, this is an open source framework. You need 1,000 hours to get a proper model out of it. So, I mean, there are experiences from BBC, for example, which started with 300 hours with the first model. And it works basically as well, but to get a model with sufficient preciseness, you need at least 1,000 hours. And so the question is, where do you get 1,000 hours? Normally, to get transcriptions by hand, you need, if you do it from scratch, around 300,000 euros just to do the transcriptions. But you also need then stuff for, on the one hand, organizing the audios and also then to do editorial work. So this is really a lot of money you have to invest to get just the training data. And so here, a newer approach is to use subtitles for that. And this is how the ORF came into the game. And and also the creativeness from Christoph, who was looking for solutions. And after some calls, we and internal discussions on both sides, we finally came into an agreement to exchange, on the one hand, these subtitles or film footage with subtitles, and the ORF gets back, or we are allowed just to use the training data for this scientific project, but we are allowed to publish it under a new GPL license. And so ORF can also use then the hopefully well enough trained model then. The second thing is, as a precondition to do the training of the model, we're going to have to look through the subtitles, because often it is the case that it is not one-to-one mirroring what has been spoken. So sometimes there are tiny changes to better understand what has been spoken, or tiny explanations in it. And if this is the case, then it's useless for training of data. And so you first have to do to provide chunks out of this footage, so which can also be done automatically. So Ewald, who is unfortunately not here, but he already did this with other data. He trained a small model with where he had precise transcriptions, and with this small model, with I don't know, I think he used 50 hours of spoken language to train this model, and with this he just found out to or managed to align the spoken language and the subtitles, and so this footage we are also gonna provide to the ORF, and this footage or this chunking method Ewald also already applied to the publicly available recordings of the parliamentary sessions of the Austrian Parliament. So we already have among 400 hours as basic training material. So we are currently in the step, on the one hand, still to get the final funding from the Austrian Media Authority and set up everything. But we at the Cultural Broadcasting Archive, I'm not sure if I'm already working 2.5 years or three for 3 years on this issue. And so we are already quite close to a result. But this is nothing new. So I don't know. Some people already have approached us if we have data for them to train models. And this is a big issue for the whole, language technology scene. So we are really quite happy that we have access now, and we are quite close to get the first model. Yeah, that we are using Kaldi already mentioned, and one of the outcomes, and on the other hand, also then a way to get funding is that we want to use this for subtitling, or actually Okto wants to use it for subtitling. And so this is now where Christian comes into the game, and we'll give to you the opportunity to briefly talk about that. I have prepared three further slides. So this is just the title, and maybe the next one is the one that is relevant to talk about it from your side. Maybe we should translate it into English.
Accessibility.
Okay, so Christian, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. So actually, from the very beginning, we had these two ideas. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfect. Thanks.
Okay, so actually we got this two approach, because in our first talks between Alex and me, there was the idea of automatic annotation of audio signals in our video content to have them for metadata storage, that we can use them for full text search in the internet. Because the problem nowadays very often is when you try to make your content, your video content, finding it in the internet, you just have possibilities like tagging, or you are working with handmade collections of some words which are most important for the text inside. And with the possibility of automatic annotation of the full text length, of an audio signal puts you in a much better situation when someone is looking up for selecting words of this metadata signal. But also as well, we had the talks from the very beginning about accessibility with working with subtitles, because especially with people with hearing disorder, they are very much put on the chance to have the possibility to read the text part and the audio part. And we thought also on this. When we tried to get in the direction of the media regulation authority to get some fundings for this project, we recognized very soon that it's more the approach with the accessibility, which puts us much more, which offers much more chance to us to get fundings for this project than the other approach to work for our full text search aim in the internet. So we put more emphasis on the way of underlining the possibilities in the direction of accessibility of video content for hearing disordered people. And so it was the big challenge to think how we can put some subtitles in the running video, which is generated by the text coming off the automatic annotation. And this was the way where we talked to the company which builds our encoding machines. Actually, they are from Harmonix, which is a very specialized company in California, USA. And they are sold by one company in Upper Austria. It's called Norman Engineering. They're the only one in Austria who are selling the encoding servers of Harmonix. And we got in talks with them, and they said they don't think that this would be a great problem because they are very used to build some sub-services for broadcast video content, like subtitles, where you even have the chance to choose between different languages when you want to put on some subtitles on your video content. And this is generated by this Harmonix encoders, as they are used to do it on the way of the level of EPG datas. These are the electronic program guide datas, where you can put on your remote control, you can look up some possibilities in different languages for putting on your subtitles. So we are testing this in a way in the moment to look how hard or how big is the challenge to build up. Here some working workflows, but I think this will work well. So we just are on the point to put on our documents to the authority and to get the green light to go for getting some money and some fundings to do our job and to do this project. And I'm very pleased to do this together with Christoph and Alex, ORF and CBA, as really great partner, and I'm looking forward for having the real start in this project, hopefully in the next few weeks. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Christian. Maybe I'm stepping into here now, and I wanted to ask Christoph to talk a little bit about the first experiences you had also from a journalistic point of view when using these automatic transcriptions, which has been really funny and interesting both. So the funny how what all sorts of possibilities there are to use this.
Yeah, so one I already mentioned here, this is, for example, that the building up of transcripts of interviews, for example. This is currently mostly still done manually since the quality needed here is quite high. Just imagine that you have a typical saga, so something a politician is mentioning in an interview, and you have it transcribed wrongly, that would have a major impact, of course, and wouldn't definitely not help to boost our image as ORF here. So definitely quality is definitely an issue. But on the other hand, I can tell you a small story. My colleague from our radio did to me. He's also working in the archive, and therefore he knows all about my different projects. And he also had access to, let's say, some real early transcripts we did last summer. And he used those transcripts to cut his own story, his radio story, just on the transcripts. He didn't go into the audio. He just used, let's say, the text level, did his cutting of the different parts, put them all together, and then played back the audio, and was really amazed that he nearly had to change anything. There were just small glitches he had to repair. But in generally, in most of his work, he did directly on the text level. Of course, to do so, the quality has to be sufficient, but it shows a tremendous impact that those transcripts might have on future production. They will boost the speed of production quite enormously. Just imagine currently when you're out shooting an interview or so on, during driving back to the studio facilities, you had to either do your transcript on your own, or you had to hand it over to your office to do the transcription. And it took mostly some time, at least hours, to get a fully fledged transcript. Now, while you are shooting, already in the background, the files that are produced digitally in your producing facility are automatically transcribed in the background, and while driving back, you can even on your mobile device start building up your story with the already newly shot material. So, from a journalistic point of view, there are really some big possibilities. But I also wanted to mention, let's say not news journalist here, say the historical journalist who is working very close with the archives. Currently, our metadata status for production from, let's say, the 50s, 60s or 70s are coarse, to be polite. So there are some information about who might be in the picture and when it was shot and what was the main topic. But just imagine just a couple of words for a 12-minute program. There's a lot of information hidden. Now we are currently trying to transcribe all those old material, historical materials, with speech-to-text technology. And we are now getting a complete new, very rich layer of information about those programs. Of course, it's a little bit different because currently, when you annotate manually, you annotate what you see. And when you annotate what you hear, you annotate, let's say, in a kind of a filter, in your journalistic filter when you're annotating. The transcript is always fully fledged, so there are important information as well as completely unimportant information. So this filtering has to be done during research, and this is a new approach where some of my colleagues might have to learn a little bit for the future, since this is a kind of a new approach. But on the other hand, I would more likely want to have more and too much information than to have less, not enough information about the different items in our archive. So these are just two small examples of where a language technology, especially speech to text, might help a lot in getting the accessibility also of a newly produced material as well as let's say historical material in our collections to a new level.
Cool stories. Christoph, there's one story I remember as well about the Sommergespräche.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a funny story because it was last summer as well. You might remember last summer we had 40 years of the so-called Sommergespräche, so the political talks with all the head of the different political parties in Austria. So each decade when we have an anniversary, of course, an anniversary program is produced. 10 years of Sommergespräche, 20 years of Sommergespräche, and so on and so forth. So last year we had 40 years of Sommergespräche, and the colleague of mine who is in charge of collecting material for those, yeah, it doesn't like it because it means that for 40 years you have to look through dozens and dozens and hundreds of hours of more or less interesting talks. By introducing a speech to text, he was able to do the research now on a text level. And in fact, and he was really enthusiastic. He plans to have 3 to 4 weeks just for the research of the material. It took him less than 2 days. Working on the annotations, the transcripts made by automatical transcription here. Of course, there's been some errors in it, names wrongly spelled and detected and so on and so forth. But in general, it was very easy for him using also the text level as a kind of a navigation level. So as soon as he found a certain topic or a name mentioned, he just clicked on this part in the text. Immediately in the background, the video and the sound started, and he found out immediately, okay, this was something that's interesting and not. And this speeded up his work really tremendously. And he said, now, from now on, he doesn't anymore fear the works on those anniversary programs. Quite in contrary, he loves it from now on.
Yeah, this is a cool feature. This is all, this works as well with the open audio search that when you find Jauche, for example, then you can play from the spot where this Jauche comes, this word comes in the audio. This is really a cool feature for playfully thought this might be interesting, and now it turns this. I think this example shows it very well what the power is behind that, or what this can be. Another feature now, maybe Christian, we also discussed then, you just briefly tipped on it, that we could provide not only subtitles, but also translations. So this would offer then the so-called migrant community in Vienna the opportunity to also somehow watch and rehearse what's going on at Okto. What do you expect? What effects could have such an offer? And
actually, we are working for many years together, very close together with the Institute for Translation Science here in Vienna from the University of Vienna. And normally we have a lot of
uh, I think we lost Christian.
Students are doing the subtitling. This works quite well.
Christian, we have some connection problems.
It's getting more state of the art.
Christian, could you repeat your
Do
last
you hear me or are there any problems?
No, it's better again, the connection apparently. Maybe yeah. Could you start again from scratch?
Okay. I told about the time until yet where we have a very close collaboration with the Institute of Translation Science from the University of Vienna. And we have a lot of students here working on translation and subtitling by hand for many, many years. But we recognized that they go more and more in the direction that they got rough or draft subtitles or translation texts made by artificial intelligence, that they have the chance to work over them and to optimize them. But the first rough line is very often made automatically. And this helps you very much to make the work more efficient, and it goes in the direction that you need both. And so we are very happy and very privileged, based on this collaboration with the University of Vienna, that we can get a step forward to have the chance to make with a pre-subtitled or pre-translated texts working the students for the high quality translations then later on. And I'm looking forward on these projects in the future time.
Yeah, so what I'm really wondering is if for a lot of communities, it's often too hard to follow a debate in Austrian German. And so if there are subtitles there, and even if there are translations, this could be an entirely new way of accessing this. However, I'm wondering if these communities are really interested in that, what we are talking about. Do you think you would have to change somehow a little bit the topics as well, or what do you expect? What this effect? What the effect could be out of being able to provide translations? In such an amount to have more or less full coverage.
Yes, in this case, you always have to think that we got a huge community with different languages here on Okto. This phenomenon is based on the fact that we got about 50% of the citizens here in Vienna come from somewhere, from abroad. And so we got a kind of a mirror of this society here at Okto. So this means we are operating with about 20 different languages here at Okto. And we recognized very soon that it's important to have the possibilities to translate and to subtitle all these different languages to get also broader shares and reach under the citizens they are only able to understand in German, for example. And this is a totally important field for us of activities. And that's the reason we are looking always for new technology to be more flexible and more effective in working in this field. But working with subtitling, I think, is getting even in other spheres of television broadcasting more and more important. Because when you do... when you are working with speech over or things like this or full translation in the audio file, you are losing a lot of information. You're losing a lot of original information and originality of your content So the broadcast scene is going more and more in the direction, especially when it's got news features, the content, and where it talks stories from communities. The best way to translate it is it to leave it in the original version and to subtitle it, because then you can feel much more of the original material. And so this gives us a little bit the way that we can think we did it in the right way to work more in the field of subtitling. And now we are getting in the direction that there are new possibilities through new technologies. And so that's the reason I'm looking forward for getting ahead with this one.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a brief, briefly a question to the audience, if there's any question there.
We could start with a question from our Matrix channel. There's okay. One question from Roland Altonscheidel from Ferrum. Question to Mr. Bauer, ORF. Would the ORF be happy with extending the outcoming in Austrian language model with material from other sources, like such as subtitles, lectures from Austrian universities?
Since Alexander already pointed out that it's quite hard to let's say collect those 1,000 hours of good training material, expanding this set of training material is definitely a good idea. So I have to confess that TALP is not our only horse in the race here. We are collaborating with other communities and as well on Austrian language models. Since once we did the work in researching the different training material, we want to use it for different approaches here. And so definitely adding up this overall amount of training material is always a good idea to have let's say a true real model that is not biased in one way or the other, which is in the language model area, not the main program, but has to be got in focus as well.
Thanks. Other questions in the room?
Thanks for the presentation. Are there already other interested parties in using this, or did something like change in who would be part of developing and creating such a model?
I can briefly answer this from our side. You heard the question from Roland Altonscheidel, and he's from Fiacom, and he's actually interested in the model as well, because he's providing services for Austrian university that wants to have the possibility to offer subtitles for lectures. And so they're already eager waiting for an open source language model. And maybe Christoph, you can talk a little bit more. I mean, there's a whole language technology scene or I mean, there's specifically in the media scene in Vienna, a lot of activities going on.
That's right. So the interest is quite huge here. So as soon as people learn about that we are dealing with a topic right now, I'm addressed all over the time that they want to have updates and want to be in some way or the other part of it. So the overall approach, for example, here to have with TALP an open source language model is definitely helping the overall community in involving also those parties who won't be able to have a fully fledged language model developed on their own, or with investing a lot of money here. So not only, let's say, the media scene is here are really interested in. We also, for example, has been approached by telecom providers, all the big ones, as well as other companies who in some way or the other are using a language in a way to retrieve information. So, and this is definitely a vast field here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the challenges is also, I mean, apparently the big tech is just in the beginning to offer or to develop here specific solutions. So apparently Google and Amazon do not offer yet possibilities to really cover dialects. I think it's also some sort of cultural I don't know, lack of cultural feeling or cultural know-how that is existing there. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure if, I mean, they're big pocketed anyway. So I'm not sure if it's just the money there. And I think there should have enough data available. So I think it's more of their approach. They just think in let's scale it and make it big. And if you have just a market for, I don't know, a couple of hundred thousands, why bother that? So I think this was also some of the secrets behind the success of Austrian companies evolving in Eastern Europe, because the Austrians took these small markets seriously and also knew how to develop services there.
Yeah, completely right. But on the other hand, I do know that Google, let's say that the topic itself has to be large enough to drive its own market. And I don't know whether a small specialized language models is therefore in their main focus. I do see, for example, the problem already here with some other European languages. I'm quite busy on the Western Balkan region with my colleague in public service media there. And for example, language technologies with the languages over there is still a big problem, because they just got real coarse language models currently. And there is no one of the, let's say, biggest companies interested in doing anything more on in this area. So we are lucky to have with German quite a wide and a large language family here. So we, the ground where we are starting from is already a real solid one, where we can build up now our small specialties. In some other areas where this, let's say, common ground is a little bit not so well built, there are still big problems here.
Although there are new technologies out there to be mentioned, where, help me, Christoph, how is this called, this Facebook approach?
Waf2Weg.
Waf2Weg. Yes.
So definitely the new approaches technology wise seen are there. And I do hope that, for example, especially for in those emerging countries and so on, a collaboration between the academic sector and the public service sector will help here to bring up those basics that this technology can really take off from the ground. So this is at least this one I'm trying to do in my counseling there as well. We are here in Austria a little bit more privileged here to have a different starting point. Yeah, but you're completely right. Currently, technology brings already some solutions that might help here quite a lot.
I mean, just briefly for explanation, what we do with CARD is supervised learning, meaning that you explain the machine step by step, what is the meaning of specific foul or like that, something like that. And there is also a technology for unsupervised learning, which is this Facebook approach with forget already. how is it called, Christoph? Waftovec. Yes, Waftovec. And apparently for the first step, they just poured 53,000 hours of unnotated, just spoken language, and apparently a lot of them was in Mandarin. So they poured in what they just got, and with this, and then you just need, I think that just took 50 hours of transcribed material in English, and apparently managed to then train a model that was even preciser than the general model that they had before. So this is incredible what is apparently possible by this technology. And this will be then maybe also an approach that we could use, because I mean, in Bavaria, they discussed that they might need three different models because the deviations even in Bavaria are that big. I mean, let's see how the approach will develop, if there will be one big German model that includes all variations, all dialects, or if there are different models as the approach is now. But yeah, these are things we're going to find out in the next couple of years. And yeah. So I don't know, are there further questions from the audience? Because if not, we can do a final round. And
For now, there are no further questions. So do your final round, please.
Christian, do you want to start your final remark?
No, I can just only add what I said before, because of the importance and the more getting importance working with language on the level of video content, because even when we got now this pandemic situation, but we are living in a global world, and there is a lot of exchange of video material. And to spread it on the people and to connect people by video content, it's more and more important to have the chance to translate and to subtitle it. And so that's the reason we are very privileged to work in a project like this, and we're really looking forward for further steps.
Christoph, you're nodding.
Yeah, so famous last words. I have to say it's quite a privilege to work with you guys together on this. It's important for ORF to provide here another share for accessibility, which is, from my point of view, definitely the biggest outcome here. It's always good if you save some time and money in producing, but making your content, your information more accessible is definitely the key issue here. And this is why, from my point of view, this is such an important project here. Thank you.
Thanks, Christoph. I can only nod to this as well. And for me, it's this cross-sector collaboration could be also a good example for further collaborations. I think there are some things like this language model, everybody needs it. And if we pool efforts and pool resources, then everybody can get out something out of it. So I think this is a clever thing to do, and hopefully I can be a good starting point for future projects. Yeah, great. So
thanks a lot for your talks. We have a small break here and come back at 3:15 with the last talk from the Servus.at people. Thanks, Christian, Christoph, and Alex. Have a nice afternoon. Bye.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.